There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 1st of July, 2014. The approximate time is 8 o'clock and 1 and 3 quarters minutes Central Daylight Savings Time here in the central part of the USA. Okay, now, it's hard to understand when your prayers aren't being answered. You listen to Jim's radio show and you hear about grace, and you listen to the emails that are read, and you hear about healings and all the wonderful things that are occurring, but yet not so much for you. One of the reasons why you are faithful to the show and you listen and you participate with text messages and emails is because you're hopeful, you're excited, that it's only a matter of time before it's your turn, that it happens to you. In everyone's life, the reality of the flesh in the world, whether you're retired or you're just starting out your career, whether you live in the U.S. or you live in China or South Korea or on an island in the Pacific or Atlantic, it really is not the point. The point is that there is so much leeway, give way. There's not a lot of strict absoluteness to things. If you kill somebody, you go on trial, and if you have a really good attorney, you may not get the death penalty. You might not even get life in prison. There might be mitigating circumstances. If you get a traffic ticket, in some places you can go to a school for a few hours and the traffic ticket is dismissed from your driving record. After so many years, no matter how many tickets you have on your record, they go away. You can buy an extended warranty so that if something breaks years down the line, you can take it back and get another one. 100% money back guarantee. Even if it's perfect and it works great, if you decide you don't like it, there's no question. There's a money back guarantee. There's divorces, breakups, litigation. If you make a mistake, you can still hire an attorney, and perhaps a large company or insurance company will give you money anyways. No matter what we say or what we do, as a human being, the overwhelming majority of the time, no matter how ridiculous or stupid or immature our actions or our choices and decisions are, there seems to be a way out of it. Or maybe we're just not held to the strictest of application of laws and rules. There's a phrase, there's the spirit of the law, and then there's the letter of the law. Now, that applies to the penal code in the criminal system. But perhaps it applies to God's law, that there's a spirit of the law and there's a strict adherence to it, the letter of God's laws. Because tonight we're going to talk about absolutes. We're going to give you lots of examples on perhaps areas of your life, the choices that you make, your philosophies, your point of view of what's important, are that last little insignificant thing that's in the way that's keeping you from your relationship with Christ. It has to be something. There has to be misinformation, misunderstanding, or mistakes being made. So it's either on each one of us, or it's on Scripture and the guys. Where do you think the finger should be pointed? Because, Jim, so many times in people's lives, there's compromises, rationalizing, plan Bs. You just don't understand why I'm doing this because you don't know all the facts. There always seems to be an excuse, a reason, why someone shouldn't be held accountable to the strictest of rules and limits and boundaries. And so don't you think that these habits and this frame of mind, for just a lack of habit and living an entire life from childhood to adulthood with this type of thinking and lifestyle, don't you think it gets carried over into a relationship with Christ?
I do. I really do. And this is where, traveling on the road as I do, I see such a lack of confidence in people. And we talked a little bit about this. The lack of confidence is so strong that you could say people are very insecure. In fact, for a very long time, I've made the comment, and this will be redundant for those of you that are listeners over and over again. You've heard me say this before. And it's one of the few statements that I've made that BJ really likes. But it's this. People are still excited about using faith today as long as they don't have to use theirs. Which is really a very telling statement, because what it says is you still believe that we walk by faith and we can experience God by faith, but you're not confident enough in your own faith. Now, to not be confident in your faith, of course, that can be a result of just seeing what you would call just failure to experience what you're believing God for, what you're praying for. But really what it comes down to is a grave insecurity within the hearts of people toward God. And I think our topic tonight is one of the best topics that we've ever spoken about, although all of them are good. But I think this pretty well is a representation of the majority of people that are endeavoring to find God, love God, serve God on the days they go to their services to worship. Even people that are much more adherent to God and want to have a relationship all through the week, I think this goes to them as well, that our lives have very little absolute attached to them, and our lives are so mixed with compromise or the ability to change the equation, feeling like, well, it doesn't have to be that way this time. I don't really have to, you know, to be that strict about it. And we begin to live in a way that actually produces our own insecurity. It's almost as though we know in our own heart we're not going to have an answer to prayer. It's kind of like a hope in a prayer at best. Because when your confidence is real in God, you don't even think twice. You pray a prayer and you begin to see change take place. And the greatest part is you don't even really care. Because when you're connecting with God, why would you? So I think this is a great topic for us to get into and to share some things about the letter of the law, the spirit of the law. For many of you that are listening tonight, I'm going to ask you, don't just listen the way maybe you always have thought about the spirit of the law, the letter of the law. Wait till we, BJ will give you a really good example when it comes down to policemen, officers, how they do their control of traffic, et cetera, et cetera. And when you hear that, then begin to apply that. And I think you'll really find that it applies greatly to how many of us have, without even knowing it, been lulled asleep to bring compromise and rationale into our lives instead of specifics, directness, absolute, preciseness. And the more precise you live, we're not talking about being all eat up with sin consciousness. I really want to hit this hard to let you know it's always a relationship consciousness. You're always being conscious of the decisions you make because you love somebody and you want to be with them and you want to please them and you want to be around them and you want your connection with them to be better than it was 10 minutes ago. As long as you think that way, then when we're talking about these things, they become to you. When you begin to open your heart to them, if you're involved in spinning in circles, you're so glad to see it because it gives you a wonderful opportunity to make a choice and protect that relationship. BJ, before we go any further with this, why don't we give a couple of the results that some have sent in about our homework from last week? Maybe we could talk about that. Do you remember that we said, why don't we have the people go through a book of the Bible and begin to just keep track? Remember, like the clickers you mentioned on each hand, where you see something where Jesus or Paul or one of the writers was warning us versus where we see words of encouragement and what we've called the wonderments of Jesus. Remember that?
Yeah, we've only had one reply. If you want to reply now and you just didn't send an email, the way you send an email is, it's the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. It's all one word, no spaces between the words, no capital letters, just The Abiding Presence at Gmail, the letter G, gmail.com, or you can send us a text message. The first word that you type in your message, you have to type this word or we won't get the text. It's the word grace. After you type the word grace, you put in your response, and then when you send it, the number that you send it to is only 5 digits. There's no one, no area code, nothing like that. It's just 69302. And the way you contact the show is on the radio show's website on the contacts page. As of right now, about 14 minutes into the show, we've received one homework assignment response. Somebody named Samuel, he read the book of Jude, and he said there were 17 warnings or negative verses, and there was 8 encouraging or positive verses. And Jim, what book did you read and count?
Matthew.
And what was it like in Matthew?
49 warnings to 29 positives. And then Ed from North Carolina sent me a text. And he read Colossians and said it was, he wrote back, said maybe this was the exception because it was like 10 to 1 encouragements to warnings.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yep.
And then last week you talked about how people that have a connection with the guys and tithing and financial support.
Yeah.
It says, Jim and BJ, my husband and I had been planning to partner with Jim for a long time because he has greatly impacted my life. But we kept putting it off for one reason or another. I heard last week's radio show and told him we had to finally start giving monthly. Today, my husband signed up to give $50 a month to Jim. Hours later, I received an email for a refund of $582 from an appointment I had 5 years ago. I totally expect to see more blessings. I value both of you very much. Keep it up. And this is from someone named Lauren in New Jersey.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought you would enjoy that. Well, and then we've had one text message. Somebody just says they like what we're saying on the show.
Yeah. Now, I really like it. In fact, you're going to really like this. I went to Pennsylvania, and Pastor David Longnecker, someone I've known for quite a while, he was back in, I think he said maybe 99, I think he came and was a student, and he got right involved with Healing School and was probably, like I told you, one of the five, out of the top five individuals I know that have individual thoughts for themselves and do their own thinking. David's one of them and does a really good job. Well, I love what he did Sunday when he was taking up an offering at the church. This is what he said. He said, if you want to experiment with this and see if this is true, that God will help you financially,
right.
He said, I'll do your deal. He said, but you got to come up and you got to tell me. This is what he said to his people. If you tell it to me personally, he said, then this is what we'll do. Whatever you give in the next 6 months, I'll hold it aside and will not touch it and keep it in a separate account. And he said, if you don't see God's blessing on your life, he said, then I'll give it all back to you and you'll have a real nice check.
That's kind of neat. Like a Christmas fund.
Yeah. And he said, the worst that can happen to you is you'll have a nice little savings that you probably wouldn't have had any other way. And I thought that was great.
I like that. I like that a lot. It shows, you know what it shows? Conviction and true belief in grace.
Yes.
Because he's literally challenging the guys to put up or shut up.
Exactly. And look at how he's taken the pressure off the people.
Yeah.
Now they're not going to be giving feeling like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Now they're giving, going, at least I'm going to have 6 months of a nice little cushion that I would never have done myself.
And the interesting thing is it goes to what we're talking about. Somebody may say, okay, I'm going to put $25 a week or however, you know.
Right, sure.
Okay, well, since they know they're going to get their money back whether it works or not, that type of person who does not have a relationship with Christ, they won't even follow through. It won't be every week. It'll be every other week.
Uh-huh.
Or might be once a month.
Right.
Because there's no
commitment.
No commitment. No conviction.
Yeah. Doesn't mean anything to them.
No. Because I like what he's doing, and I think it's a great idea, but it also lends itself the ability to non-believers, people that don't have a connection with grace. It gives them that plan B, that out,
because
they know they'll get the money back.
Right.
Well, think of it this way. You go into a restaurant, and when you look at the menu, there's an entire section that says, if you order one of these meals, you're not full, it doesn't taste good, don't pay for it. How motivated are you to be held accountable to the other side of the menu where if you order it, you have to buy it. Whether
right.
you eat it, whether you like it, nobody cares. We're a restaurant.
Right.
You ordered it.
Sure.
You owe us money. We'll give you a doggy bag. Out the door you go. Next. There's a weakness in people. It has nothing to do with education or the color of your skin or where you live. But there is a large amount of people walking on the face of the planet that have this weakness inside them that
They don't want to challenge themselves. They don't want to acknowledge that they're weak. So it's just easier not to press the issue,
right,
not to challenge themselves,
right,
not to say, well, I am going to order something from the menu. I will have to pay for it. Whether I like it or not, I'm committed to it. They'll take the easy way.
Sure.
And look at it this way. And this is what's real interesting. No matter who you talk to, if you talk to a mathematician or someone that really understands marketing and advertising, it's literally almost a waste of money to buy warranties, extra warranties. It's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, because they're just not worth it. Okay, but people still do that because that way they feel, well, if I drop it, if I don't take care of it, if I leave it outside, it gets rained on. They don't want to take responsibility for their actions.
Right.
They don't want to have accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you pray, if you go to a Bible study, if you listen to this show, if you go to some building somewhere to practice organized religion, it's the same thing. I've put my time in. I've done due diligence. Whether they get results or not, they don't want to think about that. Because when they think about that, then it means, well, maybe I don't have a relationship with God.
Right, right.
Okay, I've been saved. I've been baptized. I've gone to communion. I've been going here every Sunday morning for 15 years. Other than that, I don't have anything I can say.
Yeah, I think that lends itself into the reason why people like maybe a larger church. The larger the church, the easier it is to not be noticed.
Safety in numbers.
Right, safety in numbers idea. Versus if it's a small church, then the pastor's going to see you, going to talk to you, people are going to talk to you, and in a sense then
you're going to have to be engaged. You're going to have to pony up. You're going to have to be a part of it.
Right.
And see, and this goes to what we've talked about before. Most people don't want to be a boss. Most people don't want to be self-employed. Most people don't want any type of supervisory management responsibility whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to be held responsible or accountable.
Right.
They like the ability to say, I just work here. I just do what I'm told.
Right.
If it broke, if it doesn't work, if you're losing money, well, it's not my fault. I just work here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's overwhelmingly probably how most people are. And, of course, our subject matter tonight gets right into the business of how people think. It really opens it up for people to ask questions.
My point of view is it isn't how people think, it's how people feel, because your feelings lead to thoughts and the thoughts lead to actions.
Okay.
I think, me personally, I think it works like that. I feel hungry, so I think about food and I want to eat.
Right.
I don't think about food and then feel hungry and then want to eat. I think there's a recipe, and I think the way it works is that you have emotions, you have feelings. Those feelings and emotions get the wheels turning between your ears.
Okay.
And you start to have thoughts and ideas. And then once you have thoughts and ideas, then you choose an action.
Yeah.
I think in Scripture, that's why it says if you're thinking about doing something,
right,
get rid of that hand.
Right.
Get rid of that eye. Cut your tongue out. I think because it's if you're thinking about it, then that means your emotions and how you feel is earthly, is sinful, which means that you're not connected with grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's how I look at thoughts and feelings.
Don't you feel like because of the way the world is making everything so elaborate and everybody, as far as with the technology, has really captured the market of selling things to the senses of people today, that overwhelmingly people are buying into the world and not into God because of that?
Well, people aren't even talking anymore. You know, I remember when I was a kid that one of the greatest treats was when you were going on a long drive with adults because it was fun to listen to the adults fight and argue.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the entire vehicle would be having the same conversation on what they saw on the side of the road.
Okay.
Well, now the parents are listening to a radio, plus maybe dad's driving and mom is texting somebody, and the kids have a television and are watching DVDs and playing video games.
Headphones in.
And headphones. There's no personal interaction.
So everybody's checked out, right?
I know all kinds of people that live around the ranch where one night of the week is what they call family night. And what it boils down to is that nobody gets to go anywhere.
Okay.
You're stuck at home.
Right.
It's family night. And dad's in the garage or in the barn, and mom is in the kitchen on the phone, and one kid's watching TV and another one's on their computer on Facebook. But it's family night.
Uh-huh.
And what's real interesting when...
Sounds like being in jail almost.
Well, it actually started, you know, most religious organizations thought that radio was straight from hell. It was the devil's tool.
Mm-hmm.
Because people stopped talking with each other. They would spend unusual amounts of time listening to music and, you know, the old radio shows.
Sure.
The comics and the murder mysteries.
Right.
And they complained about there would be an entire family, an entire house full of mom, dad, and a bunch of kids, and everybody would be in the living room or the den huddled around the radio.
Right.
And how they thought it was bad because there was no more communication. There was no more interaction.
Right.
And that people were spending more time listening to the radio. Well, then look what happened when television came along.
Sure.
And then look what happened when the internet and computers came along.
Right.
And now it's even getting more so where your vehicle has access to the internet. And now there's cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that have life-changing, very serious conversations with loved ones, and it's done through text messaging throughout the day. There you don't get to hear anybody's laughter anymore.
Uh-huh.
You don't get to see anybody's tears running down their face. You don't hear when they're trying to say something and it's scary or tearful and they choke up and their voice changes.
Right. Right.
You don't get to hear the fear or the anger in their words because everything is done through emails and text messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And what's real interesting is as man creates more technology, as the world becomes more technical and more modernized, the relationship between individuals, family members,
right,
total strangers on the street, they become more divided, more secluded, more divisional.
Yeah, we're all alienating ourselves.
I remember as a little kid, there would be people at a bus stop, and the same people were at the bus stop every day. They were all going to work. And so you had friends at bus stops.
Mm-hmm.
And if the bus came and somebody wasn't there, you'd wonder if they were sick, if they were hurt. Where were they? Why weren't they at the bus? They missed the bus today.
Right.
Well, you don't get that feel of community. You don't get that friendship and kindred spirit at rush hour in the commuter lane. It's the same with it. technology, microwave ovens, drive-through restaurants.
Right.
There's no motivation to come home and wait for somebody to cook a meal because somebody shows up with a pizza, everybody grabs a couple slices, and they scatter to their own part of the house.
Right.
With this living style and this mentality, it's so easy for someone not to commit to the words of Christ. How do they do that? Where is their absolute? Where is their limits and boundaries? How can they understand that they can't compromise and they can't rationalize when their entire reality is nothing but that?
Yeah, that's very good.
I'm not surprised that people don't have their prayers answered. I'm not shocked that people have never seen grace. I'm amazed when they do, because as far as I'm concerned, they've beat the odds.
Right. Here's a verse that kind of goes towards that. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." It's pretty good scripture, isn't it?
It is.
It really hits the whole subject here. I like this part of it. It says, "Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking." And everything that BJ was talking about for those 4 or 5 minutes as he was sharing, all about the modern culture, the way people do life, the lack of family, the alienation, the separation, people just no longer communing with one another. All of it has to do with adjusting to your culture without thinking about it. And Paul says, don't do that. That's the world.
Folks, we've been talking to you now for about 33 minutes. It's time. It's time to send emails. It's time to send text messages. If you want to text the show, you send your text. The first word you type is grace, and then you send it to this 5-digit number, 69302. And then it's also time to send emails. The Abiding Presence at G, the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. Send us questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, ideas.
I want to interject right here. I want to put a challenge out, and yet, please, it's just a very minor challenge, but if you've never texted the show, if you've never emailed the show, send us tonight a text or an email and let us know this is the first time that you've texted us.
You can say hello just to hear your name on the radio, where you are.
Right.
I like to know where people are, like, wherever they are. Like, there's that one family that listens in Trinidad.
Yeah.
Which is by the Arctic Circle, right?
Yeah.
Penguins, polar bears.
Pretty much in the Caribbean.
Well, they sent us a picture. I kind of worry about them, because if Trinidad is really close to the Arctic Circle, why were they all wearing short pants?
I don't think it's that close.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
We don't have a globe. There's no globe in the barn.
No, but...
But then I've never been in a barn that had a globe.
Huh, that's a good question. I don't think I have either, and I've been to quite a few barns in my life.
So it's not our fault.
No.
I feel bad for them. Maybe we should all pray that they don't get frostbite in Trinidad.
I think they're quite warm. I think they're cozy.
Are you saying they're going to hell? You are so mean.
No.
God, folks, let me apologize for Jim. I can't believe he would think such a thing. I'm sorry for all of us.
Well,
you're just dumbstruck. You don't even know what to say to that one.
Maybe I'll give you a scripture or something. Well, let's get back on
our
topic.
Email if you like that. That was a good one.
Yeah, definitely email tonight, especially if you've never done it before, or text us. And if you don't know what to say, just tell us hi and you're listening. That'll be great. And let us know where you're from. And if you don't want your name, like BJ said, just let us know you don't want your name mentioned. To protect the innocent, right? So anyhow, our subject matter tonight, I really, really like it. And there's some interesting, well, you know what you need to do from right at the very get-go here? Why don't you go ahead and tell the folks the spirit of the law, the letter of the law, through the eyes of the penal system, all right?
Okay. When people go into law enforcement, there's all at some point in their education in the police academy or college, there's a discussion, and the discussion has two points. The pendulum swings both ways. It's like two choices: right, left, on, off, A or B. One is the spirit of the law, and then there's the letter of the law. Okay, now the spirit of the law would be this. Two police officers are sitting in a car, and it's a pretty serious storm. There's lightning strikes, a few businesses have lost electricity. They're by a shopping mall. There's like a 20-mile-an-hour wind, and the rain is just coming down. And there's just not a lot of traffic. And all of a sudden, here comes a car across the parking lot. And this car stops by a garbage can in the parking lot. They come to a complete stop. They roll their window down. You can see they're getting wet, and the wind is blowing rain in their car. And out the window comes this arm, and there's a bag, a paper sack. And the paper sack hits the inside edge of the garbage can. And the wind and the rain blows it right out of the top of the can, and it's so wet, the bag falls apart, and there's a plastic cup and a straw and a French fry container. Somebody went through a fast food drive-thru, and it's just scattered in the wind, and it's flying across the parking lot faster than you could ever run or catch it. The car rolls up its window and it drives away. The one police officer says, "Let's pull them over. They've just littered. That's a $500 fine." And the other police officer in the car looks at him and he says, "Are you serious?" And he says, "The letter of the law says if you throw trash out of your car and you do not put it in a proper garbage can or receptacle, that is public littering, and it's a $500 fine." And the other cop in the car says, "Are you even in the same car with me? We can barely hear each other talk from the wind gusts and the rain hitting our patrol car. I don't even want to stop somebody for a ticket because I'd have to get out of the car. It's a very severe storm. There's lightning strikes. I'm amazed that someone would come to a complete stop, roll their window all the way down, knowing they're going to get wet and the wind's going to blow in their car, and attempt to throw it in a can. Because most people I know, they would just have driven through the parking lot, opened up their window just a few inches, and dropped the bag out as they drove across the parking lot. I think we should give the person the benefit of the doubt because they literally tried. If there was no storm, that bag of garbage would have been in the can. You saw how close it was. The storm blew it out." That's the difference between the letter of the law,
right,
and the spirit of the law. Now apply this to God's law. Because in God's law, in Scripture, there is no spirit. There's no compromise. There's no understanding. It has to be the letter of God's law. It has to be absolute. Because if it's not, then it's not equal for all. Because then if it's under the spirit of the law, like the one police officer, he was talking about the weather and how they came to a complete stop and how they tried. That would mean that it's okay to lie as long as it's not a big lie and you don't do it very often. Right. It's okay to go out on a date, go dancing, and maybe kiss and make out, but just don't have sex if you're married to somebody else. It would allow for human nature
right.
and negative energy to pollute and to put a shadow on the light of Christ. So God doesn't have this compromise, doesn't have this worldly, fleshly understanding. God's law is strict. God's law is absolute.
Right.
Because it has to be. Because otherwise, the entire book and all the scripture is wrong. So your choices, your beliefs, and how you apply what you believe to be Christian values and beliefs, perhaps you should ask yourself, am I worshiping in the spirit of God's law, or am I worshiping in the letter of God's law?
Yeah, it's really good. And those of you that have been around in religion a long time, don't get caught up in the words law and spirit from a theological point of view. Hear what's being said exactly as it's being said, which means the letter of the law is the absoluteness of God, where things are very accurate and precise, where man was made to live, and just like Jesus. Let's just go to him for a second while I'm explaining this. If you look at Jesus, he literally, not only did he fulfill the law, okay, but he literally stayed so connected to his Father that he said these things more than once. I don't speak unless I hear my Father speak. I don't act unless I see my Father act. In other words, Jesus is saying, you can look at the things that I do, hear the words that I'm speaking, and it's coming right from my Father. In other words, my connection is so strong, I've realized the only way I can do this on the earth is by the grace of God. So, staying in connection with God is what Jesus considered walking in a relationship where grace would work. I want you to really get a hold of that, because people will take the words, the letter of the law, the spirit of the law in this illustration. And if some of you are looking at it saying, well, everything's about the spirit in this last day. Okay, we're talking, the illustration is going right to the heart of whether you're living with absoluteness or whether you're constantly bringing compromise into whatever type of situation where you literally distract yourself or move clicks away from what's accurate. Please hear this correctly. I just wanted to make sure of that, because I know in theological type of ways of thinking, people listen, you know, to the law and to the spirit. All right, I want to share something about that that I think will help you as well. Over in Galatians chapter 5 in the Message Bible, Paul addresses this whole idea about spirit and flesh. And we're going to be talking about this too, because it has so much to do with this whole compromise type of way is doing nothing more than listening to your flesh versus listening to your heart or the Holy Spirit. Paul says here, he says, let's see, verse 16, Galatians 5, Amplified. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. If I stop right there, and there's definitely more, and we can get to that a little bit, but if I stop right there for just a second, think of how that goes right along with Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible, where it says, don't get so adjusted to your culture where you fit into it without even thinking. He said, immediately figure out what God's saying to you and then do it immediately. Recognize God. Recognize what God wants to do, or the immaturity of the world will pull you into its way of doing life, which is our topic tonight. How people are doing life and not realizing that there are multiple compromises. Do we have any texts or any emails?
We haven't had one text or any emails.
Wow.
I know. I don't think anybody's there. But interestingly enough, I found Trinidad.
Okay.
Trinidad is off the northern coast of South America, off the northern northeastern tip of Venezuela.
Okay.
It consists of two islands, Trinidad and an island called Tobago.
Tobago, yep.
They're outside of the hurricane belt, which means they're pretty good. Trinidad is around about 1,900 square miles in size.
Okay.
They've got their own constitution. And
are they British?
Well, the official language of Trinidad is English.
Okay.
They were a Spanish colony from the arrival of Christopher Columbus in like 1498. And they had a Spanish governor, but then in the late 1700s, after the American Revolution, the British fleet showed up with about 18 warships, and that was, you know, pretty much it for the Spanish. But I mean, they've had all kinds of they've had Spanish influence, they've had British, French, Dutch, all kinds of colonizers have tried to, run the place.
Okay,
and it's a pretty nice place.
I wonder if it was heavily visited with pirates years ago.
Probably, because of the Caribbean.
I would bet
and
so.
Close to Costa Rica and Venezuela. Yeah. Petroleum and petroleum chemicals is Trinidad's some of their biggest industries. So see, we're teaching people stuff.
Yeah, sure we are.
Why are you laughing? They've got mountains. They've got plains. They've got a national flower, the chiconia. It's kind of a tomato red looking, kind of a plant flower looking thing. Where else can people find information on Christ and Trinidad on a Tuesday night for free?
All at the same time. Hey, let's do something here. I don't know if we planned this. Well, we didn't plan anything, really, so everything's okay. Let's talk for just a couple of minutes about how we even got into the subject matter that we're talking about tonight, where we really began before the show to discuss the whole thing about people kind of on that slippery slope where they're just spinning and don't realize it. And it's not like this language that you don't know that, those of you that have listened before, but I think you'll like this. This is one of the things I wrote down that you said. People who try too hard, or really try hard, they do it because they don't have enough confidence to sit back and do nothing. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They try extra hard to find God. They try extra hard to try to read or study. And that doesn't mean reading and studying isn't good, but they're pushing so hard because they don't have the confidence to sit back and just experience God. And one of the reasons this is, I wanted to bring this up, because this evolved into us talking about how disconnected people really are in their life without really realizing it. And the whole thing of the spirit of the law, the spirit, or how does that go again? Spirit of the law, the letter of the law, really helped to explain that. That for the most part, we do. We want allowances. We want kickbacks on everything about our life because we just don't want to take accountability. We would rather have somebody else start a business and we work for them. We'd rather go to a very, very large church and not be noticed. Or one of the churches, kinds of churches that are really growing well today are these places that have audio and video taped in.
Yeah, like TV churches, movie churches.
Right. Where people come and they watch a screen because they're so used to watching a screen.
Yeah.
And it allows them just to kind of possibly get something, but for the most part, just check out.
Do you remember, I used to talk about it on the show. One of the places, the building that I met you in, I said, one of the problems with it, why I didn't like it was, is they took the Bible out of people's hands.
Right. Put it all on screen.
And you asked me about that. And I says, well, they pull a big screen down from the ceiling and they say, this is this book, this chapter, this verse, and then they talk about it. I remember when I was a little kid that the minister in the front of the building would say, turn to page so-and-so, or turn to book so-and-so in this verse. And then there would be about 15, 20 seconds you could hear people flipping pages. And in behind every pew, behind every seat, was a holder. And it had little wooden pencils and envelopes. And then it had a book of songs. And then there was like two or three Bibles in there. So that if you didn't have a Bible, you didn't bring a Bible, you could pick one up and open it up. Well, see what technology and salesmanship and marketing has done.
Right.
It's removed the book from people's worshiping. The whole essence of holding that book is that so at least once a week, think of this, how ridiculous this is, at least once a week for an hour to an hour and a half, you actually feel the paper, the pages.
Right.
You feel that weight in your hands, in your lap. You see the difference between words printed in black and words printed in red. And when you have that book in your hand and you're used to looking at it for guidance every week, what are the odds that you may want one at home, that you might peruse through it? You might glance at it when you've got a minute in your house.
Right.
Well, not so much if it's just dissected in little pieces on a pulled-down screen from a ceiling.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
This is what I'm talking about technology and how the advancement of man is really the slowdown and enabling of a relationship with Christ. And so what happens is when someone isn't confident in their own ability to have prayers answered, when someone isn't confident in their own relationship with God, they would never admit it. But if you hooked them up to a lie detector machine and you stuck a gun to the side of their head and you said, have you ever talked to Jesus? Well, they don't want to die and they know it's going to show a lie. They'd say, no. Have you ever had a prayer answered? No. Because they're hooked up to a lie detector with a gun to their head. They're going to tell the truth. These people, they overwork themselves. They overcommit. They think, well, you know, I really want this prayer to come true, so I better do all I can. Since they don't have a connection with God, and all they have are the religious trappings and achievements, they feel they have to work for it. They have to earn it. They haven't deserved grace, even though they were born with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get in their own way trying to do the work of Christ.
Right.
When what Christ wants you to do is sit down, shut up, and enjoy the ride of grace.
Right, right. But that's real difficult for folks if they're insecure.
Well, they have nothing to compare it to. Yeah. There isn't anything in any of our lives that you can compare, come up with an analogy or a metaphor to grace. That's the whole point. There's supposed to be a real big difference between the world and heaven.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, that's one of the scriptures over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And I'm going to find that and read that here because that goes right to what he just said. Just a moment.
We got a text that says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, I'm a regular listener from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, enjoying tonight. Well, that's good. We got another text here. It says, I read through Titus. Is that a book in the...
Right.
There is. There's one called Titus. I read through Titus and don't have any exact number to report, but was amazed at the don'ts. So they noticed a lot of negatives. Got another text here. It says, please explain how to sit back and have confidence and examples, please. And then it says, thank you. Then we got an email here that came in about 7 minutes ago. It says, "Hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Just to say hi and that we just signed on, listening in London, Ontario. Thanks so much." Well, that's Jerry and Judy, yep, listeners up there. Then we got another. Turn the fan on real quick, would you? Okay. It's kind of warm in here. Then we have another one. It says, "Hello to all, to everybody. Dave and Barb in Minnesota." Well, that's nice, Dave and Barb saying hello to everybody. Yep. And then it says, "P.S., when are you going to have Fred from Germany on the show again? I really enjoyed hearing his testimonies about grace." And that's a P.S. from Barb.
Okay, good.
So
we'll have to contact Fred and see. Well, I know he listens to the show when he walks through the forest. So yep, he'll hear this, and we'll get in touch with him and do that.
We just got an email that literally came in, popped up on my screen. It says, "Hi, Jim and BJ. Do you think people really understand what grace is?" This is from Keisha in Pennsylvania. My answer, not a clue. No, do you think people really understand what grace is? No, not a clue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking here, and I would say that...
And I don't mean that to be insulting. I just mean they don't have a clue.
Yeah, I would say that... As far as religiously, there's probably a lot of people that look at the fact that they've been saved by grace, that God's grace was there to save them. It's unmerited favor, has always been what's been spoken. But there's not a lot of people I run into that when we're talking about actually experiencing grace everywhere in a dispensation where grace is everywhere, in other words, God's everywhere for you to experience. People don't equate the grace of God like that, but they need to, because grace is everywhere for us, which means it's God's ability, God's influence in your life to do in your life and to help you with your life and to shield your life and protect your life, to show you the difference between what's right and wrong. As a teacher, over in Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12, you'll find that the grace of God is a teacher. It helps us to learn what not to do, what to do. And it's not about doing, it's about believing.
I don't think people need to recognize grace. I think they have to. Because nothing's going to happen until you do.
Well, going back to the text that said, how do you sit back and have confidence?
Well,
and that the whole thing comes back to what we're sharing, which is for people to begin to build some tangibility in God, where they have confidence in Him versus their situation.
I think I really like this text. It says, "Please explain how to sit back and have confidence / examples, please." And then they say, "Thank you." Remember, folks, we like texts, even if you just want to say hello. If you don't want your text read on the show, say no read or don't read. Start off your email or text with don't read, no read, and that means that we won't read it on the show. Now, just giving you that tip out there. The contacts page on theabidingpresence.com will show you, tell you emails. I think how to sit back and have confidence and examples, it goes back to one of the most important phrases in the Bible. You have to repent, which means change. Change your feelings, change your thoughts, change your choices, which will change your actions. And the only way that you're going to acknowledge that you're going the wrong direction, you're behaving wrong, that's not the human being that you want to be, that's not the person you want to see and have people think you are, the only way you can do that is you have to be able to look in the mirror and say, I'm a dirtball. I'm a schmuck. I'm a liar. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a gambler. I'm an adulterer. I'm a thief. I'm a liar. I'm just not the person that I thought I would grow up to be. Where did that innocent child that got along with everybody, that everybody liked? What happened to that person? What choices? What has this world done to me? Where is that person? Because that is the humbling. You know, it's kind of like what came first, the chicken or the egg. What's
right.
more important, humbling right. yourself or repenting, changing directions?
Right.
They're connected.
Yeah.
And I think until someone can really come to terms with not who they are, but who they are not, I think it's tough to be humble, and it's tough to change directions, because once you realize that you are humble and you do repent, you do try new choices in a different direction, well, then there's where the confidence comes
in. Sure,
sure. Because now all of a sudden you have new habits, new choices, and a new lifestyle and thought. I mean, I'm not saying throw all your clothes out and move to another house.
Right.
You don't have to do that. We're talking about spiritually. We're talking about inside.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm looking at having confidence, knowing that my confidence is in God, it really comes from constantly actually including God into everything that I do. You know, if you can get used to, or let's just say, because people haven't been taught, they are used to living their life without any tangible presence of God in it. They don't necessarily know that God's with them. They feel like they're left out. They're not being, if you will, led by the Spirit. They don't even know that they are a spirit. Well, if that's the way that you've been, and you've been trained to be that way, well, why can't you train yourself to actually include God into everything you do where you acknowledge Him? It goes back to the simple little scripture I learned when I was a kid, which is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Well, that scripture just speaks very loudly of having confidence, sitting back and relaxing and letting God do it. Because you're acknowledging God in all your ways, which means what? That God is potentially there for all of your ways. So it becomes very habitual to change the way you see it and let God be a part of everything that you do. Those are some of the things that I hear on a regular basis as I'm teaching this and preaching this, and as I'm doing my Wednesday night Bible study where people are coming regularly and beginning to make a connection. Is the funnest part of it is they're beginning to be aware of God being around them at all times.
Well, we've come across a problem with Trinidad. We haven't heard from Trinidad, but there's a problem. I can't go to Trinidad and visit those people. They drive on the left.
Yeah.
It's not funny. How can I drive on the left when my steering wheel is on the left and I've got a one-ton four-wheel drive truck? I can't wave at anybody. They're not going to see me because I'm going to be looking in the ditch. Well, that's disappointing.
Okay.
Folks, I love the emails we're getting, and I love the text messages. You know, Jim and I are only here in the barn every Tuesday night for about an hour and 45, 50 minutes. I haven't mentioned this in a while, and I probably should have. We're here now. It's around 3 minutes after 9 Central Time. If you have a question or a concern, and it has absolutely nothing to do with tonight's conversation, I don't care. This is your opportunity to ask questions. If it's off topic, if it has nothing to do with what we're talking about, and it's important to you, and you need answers to help you with your relationship with the guys, I'm really encouraging you and inviting you to send texts and emails. If you think that all your texts and emails have to be pertinent and have to be adjoined and participating in our conversation, that's not true. If somebody's listening and they want to ask a question and they don't want to ask it because it's off topic, I think that's a shame. Don't you?
Yeah, I do.
I think people should, I mean, if they want to ask a question, I want them to ask a question.
Sure.
If somebody takes 2 hours out of their life every week to listen to us, I think they deserve to ask anything they want.
Yeah, I do too. I don't have any problem with that at all.
And remember, folks, we don't have all the answers, but guess what? We do have all the resources to find those answers out.
Sure.
That's what grace is good at.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:16. I found that scripture. And I want to read it to you because it goes back to how absolute things are supposed to be for us. And this will be a good, to catch some of you up, but for some of you it'll just be a good reminder. It says in the Amplified, consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. When it says regard, it means we judge no one. So we're not making opinions, coming to verdicts and conclusions, judging or estimating people according to the flesh that they're wearing. Because why? Because as we begin to grow and understand that we are spirits connected to God as a spirit, we should be looking at other people as a spirit too. So it goes on to say, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human point of view and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Well, you remember John, the who wrote the epistle in 1 John. He talks about touching, seeing, feeling, hearing, and Jesus, the word of life. And he said, we want to share things about him so that the way that we enjoyed him, you can also have joy in him too. Well, John was there with Jesus personally. But he's gone now, and he sent the Holy Spirit, and his grace is everywhere for us to fellowship with him, just as real as what the disciples experienced when they were actually with him in the flesh. So then verse 17 tells us what this new experience is like. It says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Some translations say a new world order has come, or a new species of being has come. Well, this is important for us to see, because what's taking place here is Paul is making a very definitive line in the sand, saying you used to be this other person, but once you met Jesus, he turned you into a brand new person, and he's now living in your heart, and this new person you are is a spiritual person attached to God. Live the rest of your life thinking this way. I think it's time for us just to use this particular example we've used, quite a long time ago, but it's the Witness Protection Program that works 100% of the time if somebody's life is in danger. If they'll change their identity, change their location, change their history. And the government, if they help you with this protection agency, will tell you that if you'll do this correctly, you will not have any problems. And to do it correctly means you can no longer identify with the person that you were or anyone that you used to know unless they make the change with you. So that means you're a new person in a new place doing a new thing with a brand new identity. And as long as you stick to it, you'll have no more problems with those people that were trying to harm you. Well, this is why Paul made such a huge deal out of identifying with Jesus Christ as a new person, as a spiritual being connected to God. Because the moment that you do, it means what you used to do, how you used to do it, is forever gone. The more definitive we can be, the better chance we have at having a very natural, wonderful relationship with God.
Well, I like that.
I talked a lot, so I'll let you do something.
No. Let's see if we've got an email. It says, someone sent an email before the show, and they said that... I really enjoy your show for a long time now. I have not been able to listen to your live shows on Tuesday. Can you help me with these issues? I sent that over an hour ago, and I just told him I asked what was wrong. And they said, I can hear the recorded shows, but when I try to listen live shows on Tuesday, it just plays the last week's show. It doesn't change to the live show. I restarted my computer, but that didn't help. I tried other computers in the house, but they do the same. That's really weird.
I mean, I don't know what to tell that person. I mean, I guess we could bring that by maybe some of the IT guys and see if...
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to type this message, but I'm going to say it verbally in case they listen to the show when it's recorded. I'm going to suggest, instead of listening to the show off of one of, like, off your ministry page or off of the radio show website, I'm going to suggest that they log on to the streaming company.
Live 365?
Yeah, I'm going to say
that's good. I was thinking that too.
I'm going to tell them right now in a typed message, go to Live 365, and when it asks for a station, type in the Abiding Presence,
right,
and it should click on live show.
Yeah, I think that's good.
If that doesn't work, it's about their machines.
Okay.
And I'd be curious to know if somebody else had any issues as well.
Right, right.
All right, so go ahead, and I'm going to type that message real quick.
Okay. Well, I want to do just a little bit of work here with what we're talking about, and I think sometimes just reading some really good scripture really helps us just get more of a definitive way of looking at things. So here I am in Romans chapter 8, in case anyone wants to follow along in the Message Bible, starting with verse 1. It said, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. All right. Stay with me on this. This is really good. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the distorted mass of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it was by a fractured human nature, could never have done that. Now, that's not the same letter of the law, spirit of the law we were talking about in our example. That's why I wanted to share some of those things I did. The law code he's talking about here is trying to perform perfectly in order to get God's approval. It said it was always fractured by human nature. In other words, man continued to make many mistakes and then would lose out from being in the presence of God under the old covenant. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now that the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. And that's really what we were talking about earlier, which is people that try so hard because they don't have enough confidence to just sit back and do nothing. And this is what this is talking about. Instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. And this goes back to, if you're able to start changing the way you see things into more of a direct and precise way of life, it'll be easier for you to look at the Scriptures this way, to see your relationship with God this way, and just relax about most of the things that you would have been upset about trying so hard to be religious to get God to do something for you. Going on further, I think it helps. It says, those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but they never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Notice, when you begin to just have confidence in God, sit back and rest, what do you find? It's a prescription for making a connection with God, where he becomes very real to you, and you see that he's living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. This is real good. Listen here. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your heart, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. For you who have welcomed him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. And then this last verse. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as it did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. You know, everywhere I go, one of the things that I guess causes people to get more quiet than almost anything I say, and this goes back to the whole way of life that we're talking about and are completely is on target with our subject, is when I ask the question, and I usually tell people, don't show of hands, but I'll say, probably a good majority of you in here have had some type of experience with God in some way, shape, or form. And you'll see that people are very willing to listen to that, and you can tell people are thinking and are agreeing with what I'm saying. But when I say to them, but here's the interesting question. When was the last experience you had with God? And all of a sudden it gets very quiet, where it's different quiet than you could almost hear people thinking with joy over, yes, I've had an experience. Now it's almost, oh my goodness, I see where he's going. My last experience, I can't even remember it. Or it was 10 years ago. It's been so long, I don't even know how life-changing it was, but I think it was life-changing. And all of a sudden, the wheels start going, and you can see people thinking and really beginning to contemplate, oh my goodness, this question really pins my hide to the wall and helps me to see I don't have enough conviction in my experience to have had another one continually, day after day. I think that is one of the most sad things when I share that people have to relate to and admit. And it goes with what we're talking about. It's this misconstrued life that doesn't have absolutes. And it's sad, BJ, because spinning this way, it prevents you from thinking and asking yourself the big questions, doesn't it? It almost eliminates in your mind the thought, well, I've never thought of asking myself that question.
It does. We have to take a break for a second. We have to say hi to Chubby.
Okay, explain who Chubby is.
We just got a text message, and it says, listening from Illinois, a toy poodle named Chubby says hi to Ranger. Enjoy the truth you share. Ranger, come here. Say hi to Chubby. Say hi to Chubby. Well, there you go. That goes out to Chubby. You should have seen the look on your face when I said we have to say hi to Chubby. I don't know. It just says toy poodle named Chubby.
I don't know if somebody was admitting something or what. I don't know.
Let's see. If you have an email, send it to theabidingpresence@gmail.com. What do you think so far? You think we've been explaining this so far?
I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes I think I really enjoy the subjects maybe more than people do because I'm always enjoying what we're talking about. It's the more God means to you, the more you're starting to really get this message, then the more you can't get enough of it. You just need to keep on hearing things that protect you and advance you. I don't know. In fact, I've got a scripture here. I'll just finish reading. It's the next two scriptures from where I was. And this is great. It says, so don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. Don't you like that?
I do. I like it a lot. I mentioned this before on the show, but I really mention it a lot with you when we're talking in the barn. And that is that people really need to look. And it sounds crazy, and some, I'm sure, in organized religion, they would say it was arrogant or even blasphemy, but I think people really need to look at themselves and compare the choices they make in their lives to Jesus. I don't mean about putting on a robe and a pair of sandals and walking around from town to town. I mean on how Jesus himself had trials and tribulations. He had challenges. How he made choices. Mm-hmm. How there were times when he looked left instead of looked right towards his own Father, towards grace.
Right.
Granted, it was momentary, but those are very important lessons.
Okay.
And I think one of the biggest problems I have with organized religion and buildings and structures is this. They get somebody in the door. They make them feel welcome. No question about it. Good coffee, good donuts, good cookies, good fellowship, great people. They baptize them. They put them through communion. They tell them they're saved. They tell them, they make them feel like they have it all and they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the ignition is turned off and the brakes are slammed on.
Right.
It's like you walk into a brick wall. There is nothing more. Every week is just a reaffirmation, and it's like a dog chasing its own tail.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the life of Jesus, it's not like Jesus just happened to run into John the Baptist at Walmart. Well, you know, come on, guys, let's go to Walmart. Okay, Jesus. Oh, you're not going to believe who I ran into in sporting goods. Who? Oh, John the Baptist was in sporting goods. No, that wasn't it. He saw it. He went on a hit. He was focused on what? Meeting and locating
right.
John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And when John the Baptist baptized Jesus,
right.
What was the find what Jesus said after he was baptized? So you can quote it.
Well, I know it. I mean, Jesus came up out of the water. The Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And as soon as he went through the temptations, he came out in the power of the Spirit. And bam, he started his ministry.
In other words, after Jesus was baptized, and he was humbled by seductions of the flesh and the world, and he chose not to participate, he then was motivated. It was like he had a badge and a job and a goal to be productive.
Right.
Organized religion, they don't offer that. They offer you to be welcomed, and they're wonderful and they're gracious, and it's a fun place to hang out. But after you're saved, after you've been baptized, and after you've had a communion every couple of weeks, there's nothing else there. Mm-hmm. They don't instruct you. They don't motivate you. They don't guide you. They don't say, okay, so what? You're here. Now what? Where's your progress? Where's your motivation? Where are your goals? Because this fuels the fire of complacency.
Yeah.
Because if you can go on summer vacation and be gone for 5 weeks and come back and everything is just like you left it and you didn't miss anything and the organized religion hasn't progressed and neither has somebody else, that's not good. That's a warning sign.
Sure.
Because if they don't provide motivation, if they don't talk about progress, if they don't talk about advancement, then how is someone on their own at work or at
right,
home
right.
or stuck in traffic at a red light, how are they ever supposed to realize that they need to change direction?
Right, right. Very good. I can back that up here in verse. It's interesting that I'm reading in Romans 8 in the Message Bible, and I just keep going to the next couple of verses, and then what BJ just got through saying is actually what the verse says. Listen to this in verse 15. It says, "This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life." In other words, no progress. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" In other words, It's a fun life hanging out with God, doing God adventurous things. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. Now, that sounds like people having a connection with God, where they have an expectancy to have a blast in this new adventure of life.
I like that people talk to each other, where an entire family scattered across the United States, how brothers and sister-in-laws and mom and dad, how they say hello to each other on the show. I like it. I like when somebody emails the show and says hello to everybody listening, and how friendships have formed through this show.
Right.
I think that's great. But what I think is better is when someone can sit quietly and they can say, I'm not the same person I was months ago. I've been listening to archive shows. I've been listening to five or six shows, and I'm moving out. My emotions are giving me thoughts and feelings that I haven't had before, and I'm starting to expand.
Yep, I like it.
I'm starting to look for grace everywhere.
Yeah.
And I expect it to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Because Scripture talks about this. There are many places in the Bible that talk about wondrous adventures, the joy of enjoying grace. I mean, think about this. If you're born with grace and Jesus turmoils a nightmare of an ending on this planet, Jesus' blood paid for our sins, we're born with grace. And it literally says, don't worry about what you wear, where you sleep, what you eat. If I take care of nature, I'm going to take care of someone in my image. And ask and you shall receive. Exactly how does one justify fervent, emotional, back-breaking effort to find God? I mean, just... how hard are you supposed to squeeze your hands? How many tears are you supposed to shed? How long are you supposed to be on your knees at the side of your bed before there's results? When does someone question? I mean, yesterday I was at the lumber yard, and there was this little old lady in the paint section. And I asked her if I could help her. And she says, can you find a can that isn't dented?
Oh, really?
And I could tell because my grandmother, if a can of pork and beans was dented,
right,
it'd kill you. You know, never open up a can of anything that has the least little dent in it. And so I could tell, and I says, you don't want any dents in your paint cans? And she says, no, it means the paint's no good. And I said, okay. And I said, let me do that, because, you know, they're gallon cans, and, you know, my pocket knife weighed more than this old lady. So I'm sorting through these paint cans, and finally I says, look, I got one. And I said, look, there's no dents. And it was kind of dusty, so I took my handkerchief out, and, you know, right. I dusted it off and cleaned it up for her. And she was really happy. But look at what she did. She didn't settle. She knew what was right, and she was willing to dig for it.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is how someone will go, they will waste time. They'll spend money to find the perfect can of paint. If there's too much salt on their salad, or they didn't want any olives on their pizza, they demand to send it back and have them make a new pizza. People want things to be perfect, but yet somewhere, I don't know if it's fear, if it's doubt or apprehension, if it's their family upbringing or the religious organization they belong to, but nobody holds Jesus, the Holy Spirit, grace, and Christ to that same exact standard. To put up or shut up. You say that ask and I shall receive. Where is it? People don't want that accountability.
Well, don't you think that's the confidence that comes the more you hold yourself to that?
I don't think you can have that confidence if you're afraid that you don't deserve it, that you haven't earned it, and that you don't have it. And all three of those, unfortunately, are wrong. The devil, negative energy, Satan, whatever you want to call him, he loves for people to mm-hmm. have those thoughts.
Right.
I haven't earned God's love. I don't deserve any help from Jesus. Well, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to help to make this prayer come true.
Sure.
That's not believing in God. That's right. Not a relationship with Christ. That's somebody that is sad, despondent, and worried that nothing will come positive of it. And it never does.
No, it doesn't.
And it just snowballs. Until finally, someday, they just go, sure, I'll pray, but nothing's going to come of it.
Right.
And I don't know anybody who else who's ever had a prayer answered. That's what I call the lottery ticket. You get 300 to 500 people in a building somewhere, and somebody stands up and says, praise the Lord, I can see. And then you've got 399 people that are sitting there in their seats saying, praise God, it's a miracle. But I guarantee you, most of them in the next 10 hours is going to say, when's it my turn?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why not me?
Yeah.
I've lost weight. I dress good. I show up to work on time. I work overtime. I pay my bills on time. I keep my grass mowed. I let people walk all over me. I'm a doormat. When's my turn?
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is that they were born with a turn. And I think if they start demanding this and they start discerning this, I got to tell you, folks, for me, it was empowering. It was like being a sailboat and there's no wind and you got your sails just sagging like wet spaghetti hanging out of a bowl. And all of a sudden, the sails are just woof. They're just full of air. And before you know it, you're just flying across water that is still. And yep. your sails are so full of wind. And it's like a light switch. First, there's no wind in the sails, and then it's there. And it's that fast, and it's that prominent, and it's that important, and it's so wonderful because you already have it. It's like looking for your car keys, and they're in your pants pocket the whole time.
Yeah, listening to what's being said right here, I trust that what it does is it stirs up a real hunger in you to have what we're talking about and what so many are beginning to experience. And this is the reason why I look at Paul's writings, and I can see so many things in a little bit different frame of mind once you begin to hear what's being said. Listen over here to the 16th verse of Galatians 5, and this is in the Amplified. It says, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Well, number one, that's not a law. That's not works, that's a relationship. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, the human nature without God. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, the godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. And then notice what he comes back to in verse 18. But if you are guided or led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Later, he goes on after he mentions how the flesh works, and he mentions the fruit of the Spirit. Notice what he goes on to say in the 25th verse. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit we have in our life, in our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. This is exactly what we're saying tonight, because when it all comes down to how absolute that it really is in God, what it comes back to is just literally listening to those wonderful voices of God. Those wonderful many opportunities where grace is everywhere. In fact, BJ, that would be a real good time to just fill the folks in on what you had said about that earlier, about how many times grace is everywhere. People just miss all these little things.
Well,
remember the part where you said how that people have that feeling inside about
it happens a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think you could swing a dead cat without hearing someone say this. And
whether they know God or whether they don't.
Yeah, they say, I knew this was going to go wrong.
That's right.
I knew I shouldn't answer the phone. I knew I shouldn't listen to this person. I knew I shouldn't have went with them. I knew what they were telling me was a lie. I knew I shouldn't have loaned them money. I knew this was going to make me late for work. I never should have said that. I knew this was going to happen. This has happened a million times. I don't know why I let it happen again. I don't know why I believe this person, because it's always wrong. We always have these little feelings and sayings, which amounts to Monday morning quarterbacking. It's real easy to choose a better play when it's Monday after you've watched 3 hours of football
right. On
a Sunday. I'm going to give you an example of grace in my life today. It was a short day at the ranch. I gave everybody a half a day off and paid them a little extra, even though they weren't here to work, and we cut short the day because I had to deal with Jim coming out here.
Right. That's right.
You like the way you say that?
Sure. Blame it on me.
All right. So I had a little bit of time, and I said I'd go to the P.O. box today before the show, and I did. Nothing in there. But I went. All right. It's hot. I had Ranger in the pickup truck, and I ran a couple of errands, and I thought, wow, I'm all the way in town to this big fancy grocery store. I thought I'd get some fancy snacks for the show, maybe something special for supper. I started to drive into the parking lot of this big, giant grocery store, and all of a sudden I realized I had the windows up, the air conditioner on, and I had my dog with me. And all of a sudden I realized there's no shade at all in the parking lot. No matter where I park my truck, Ranger's going to be in the sun. If I leave the windows down so she doesn't get hot, someone could steal her. If I leave the windows rolled up and the doors locked, Ranger might get hot. If I leave the truck running with the air conditioner on, Ranger will be comfortable, but someone could steal my dog and the truck. Mm-hmm. So I decided it wasn't worth going in the grocery store, because no matter what food I'd already bought, already cooked, and I know I was going to eat after the show, I thought I would rather know that Ranger's cool and safe with me.
Right.
So on the way out of town, I stopped at, you know, the grocery store.
Ducks.
I stopped at this little family-owned grocery store that's about the size of a four-car garage, and every single space in front of the store was open. And the entire truck was covered in shade. Mm-hmm. And they had all their signs down off the windows, changing them. So through every aisle in the store, I could see Ranger through the window. And I did my little bit of shopping, made some other choices, and I came home. That's grace. I could have chose to go to that store because I was hungry. I wanted the better quality food, something more variety. But see, grace avails itself to us every day in these ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's not going to matter if I'm 5 minutes late for work. I want to stop and take care of my own personal needs, whether it's a donut or to pay a bill, or you just feel that it's never mattered for
right.
you to be late for work.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this is the day when you really needed to be on time.
Remember I told you I helped fix the fountain today. We had to clean the fountain. There's a little pond in front of our house, and there's a fountain in the middle of it.
Yeah, you live in a little community, and there's a community goldfish bowl.
Right, but, you know, with all the... that's. Thank you very much. I'll make sure to tell the Homeowners Association that what we have is a goldfish bowl. But anyhow, you know, the the fountains get all gummed up with
algae
and stuff.
Yeah, you got to clean them and service them. Yeah.
So we were doing that today, and on the way out there, when I saw the guys, just on the inside, just like you're talking about with Ranger, I just had this come about. Probably be good to take your gloves this time. Because remember what happened when I cut my finger when I was doing some work out in the yard with my chainsaw, and I had one of those genie ladders, and it does so many different things in different ways, but you have to open it up to get it to be bigger and smaller, and anyhow it just jammed in my finger and big bloody mess. And before I went out there to do all that, I just knew I should have got my gloves. But I said, it'll be okay. See, there, you're just overriding grace. And so I just heard, be good to take your gloves this time. So I took them. Sure enough, I'm working with wire and all, a big, huge wire we connect this fountain to. And I don't have one lick of a problem. While we're waiting for one of the guys to get there, I told one of the guys that was just sweating buckets, I said, come on over here. Because he was sitting in the sun.
Right.
I said, come on over here. And there was shade. And we sat down. I said, do you feel that nice breeze right there? He said, man, it feels really good. See, that's grace.
You know, people always talk about how in a split second, things just go sideways and go wrong. But what they don't realize, in a split second, things can go amazingly wonderful.
Yeah.
Because grace is there. You don't have to be, you don't have to lose weight, you don't have to gain weight, you don't have to get a nose job, you don't have to buy better clothes, you don't have to clean your house. It isn't about that. It's about just realizing that you have a special relationship with Christ that you're not taking advantage of.
Yes.
Because if nothing's good or the flesh of the world, it can't be about that extra 20 pounds.
No.
It can't be that one ear is higher than the other. It can't be because your car isn't as good as everybody else's at work, so you park far out in the parking lot. Because those are the distractions. I mean, is it bad to kill somebody? Yes. Murder's wrong. Is it bad to cheat on a loved one? Yes. Adultery is bad. And it's not real good to be going to Indian casinos gambling your money away. But what's really tragic is when you get in your own way of grace. When you don't think you're smart enough, or you're too old, or you're not good enough, you don't make enough money, that you don't have enough friends, that you literally create these walls, these barriers that keep you from your relationship with the guys. It's really sad that you do that, because look, your body's going to fail. You are going to be old, you are going to be gray, you are going to get slower, you are going to get dumber. You are going to have less energy. But yet at the same time, you can become stronger, faster, smarter. Use grace. Enjoy grace. Be grateful for it. Mm-hmm. Because as the flesh and the world become less important, as your flesh, your body, as your relationships change, as things become diminished and fade away, at the same time, God's love becomes brighter and shinier and more hopeful.
Sure.
And you have an opportunity to unleash your spirit to spirit, child to father.
Yeah.
And you can't have both.
Right.
And once you realize that you should discard and release one to accept and welcome the other, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because as bound and frustrated and tied up as you are with the dramas of the day, you can be just as bound and tied up in God's glory.
Yeah.
We got emails.
Yep. Good. Well, let's hear some.
All right. We got one here. It says 14 minutes ago. It says, years ago, I had some friends from a ministry We had a culture of God in areas of our lives and saw Him working in our presence. At that time, I saw many miracles and wonders. When I had to leave that group and was alone in the world, it seems tougher to stay in that mindset. I think when we work with unbelievers and spend most of our time there, the world can choke the mind and cause us to lose sight of sweetness of living in God's presence. Well, see, this is right. This is a perfect example of Paul's writings, how he would say, look, you've seen grace, you've enjoyed grace, and you've gone back to your old life and your old world.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's about separation of the worldly flesh and your spirit.
Right. I'm going to make this comment about that, though. In my life, my best years were always when I was around nothing but people that weren't of the Lord, because it was such a stark difference to who I was and what was real to me on the inside. The harder times of my life were actually when I was around, like when I went to a Christian school, and then everybody was a Christian. And then you let down your guard because you think you can.
Yeah.
But when I was around people of the world, I always had a witness to uphold. And I always found God was so much closer. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out because it can work both ways, you know.
We had one come in. It says, hi, Jim and BJ. I live in Ajax, Ontario, and I'm enjoying your talk. I'm still struggling to be in God's presence, whether I'm afraid to let go. Wow. On the button. That's from someone named Barb.
Okay.
I got to take a second to put these in folders and stuff because there's a list of them. It says, hi, Ranger, BJ, and Jim. Great show. Thanks for investing into us week after week. We appreciate it and don't take it lightly. BJ, I would love to hear your thoughts on how you eliminated distractions early on as you were working on successfully hanging out with the guys. Jim, can you comment from your perspective as you guys have totally different lives in this area? Jim with more religious background and more distractions.
Okay. Who goes first?
Well, you. It's your show. You always boss me around. I never get to say jack on this show.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forget.
I'm just a poor, innocent little horseman.
I need to give you some more consideration.
Poor, innocent little horseman trying to scratch out a living in the big, mean world.
Yeah, well, our lives are really different. And you've heard us say before, it's kind of like BJ doesn't have any attachments. It's not like he doesn't ever talk to anybody, because he does. But it's just he doesn't, you know, he's here at the ranch with the dog, Ranger. And I mean, you can have multiple moments of your day just being the two of you. That's it. And ranch folks coming out sometimes to help, but it can be that way quite a bit. And then, of course, when the evening comes and some of the helpers are gone, from then on till the next day, it's you and Ranger. And that's way different than me and having a family.
For a long time now, probably at least 8 or 9 months, I haven't been, for 8 or 9 months, I haven't been separated from the guys. It doesn't matter where I am, what I'm doing, they're there. I'm no longer severed.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing distracts me. No matter what it is, I don't care, I ignore it. But folks, what you have to understand is what made it easy for me to have a relationship with the guys made me an outcast to the world. I mean, every report card I ever got as a child says a loner, doesn't seem to work well, play well with others, likes to be by himself. I literally went for 3 years without one single phone call or a piece of mail. Yeah, there was a 3-year period in my life where I didn't get one phone call, not one piece of mail. And I could have cared less. Birthdays, holidays would go by, and I would be clueless because I was out in the middle of a large ranch. So the hermit, the person that likes isolation, just precludes itself to keep away from distractions. I don't have somebody calling me saying, well, you have to come to this party. I came to your party. Mm-hmm. Well, I invited you. You're not going to come? Where's my gift? I've always worked by myself, and I've always been, I mean, I've been in charge and the boss since I was like 17. I've never had a job. I've been self-employed, so I don't have the pitfalls.
Right.
I've been void of those distractions. And the fact I've never been baptized and I never went to Sunday school and I've never been a member of a religious organization, well, that means that I don't have that stuff to eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to disavow it. I don't have to, for lack of a better word, I don't have to erase the chalkboard because nothing's ever been written on it.
Right.
And so that's
And that's the difference between you and I.
It's a big difference.
Yep.
It's a really big difference. Like, there's technology now that I'm clueless to. But kids, they can't get through a day without it. It's their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way I can compare it to is in the turn of the century, around 1910 to 1920, there was still small communities without electricity or natural gas. And there were people into the 30s that still farmed with horses and mules. They didn't have any Model T Ford cars. They knew they existed. They knew there was airplanes. But it was just a world that wasn't theirs. They grew into a world without running water, without indoor plumbing, without electricity or internal combustion motors. And they were of an age and of a development that they knew they were going to live out their lives the way they were born. And I think that applies to every generation, to every person. And I think that one of the greatest things about some of the people that listen to this show is they have children, they have nieces and nephews and grandchildren and neighbors that are young, that as they become closer to God, that perhaps they can give testimonies and examples to prevent these youngsters from having to go through 15, 20, 30 years of religious organizations.
Sure.
I don't know. That's sure. How I'd answer that. All right. We got more emails here. We got to catch up. I don't know. Do you think we're doing all right?
Yep.
Think it's a good show tonight?
Yeah, I do.
All right. We got another email here. It says, hey, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. By the way, if you're a new listener, Ranger is my dog, Chocolate Lab. She's right here. Enjoying tonight from Broken Arrow. We are really enjoy sitting out back and enjoy grace. We have a frog that stops by occasionally. I'm serious. It says this. We have a frog that stops by occasionally and even jumped on my wife's leg just to say hi. After dark, we can see the bats flying by looking for dinner. It's just great to experience peace in the midst of the mess going on in the world daily. I don't have to fix a thing, just swim in grace and get better at taking it with me all day long.
Good.
This is from St. Charles. We just got a text. It says, Bob from New Jersey, great show. Very helpful. Thanks. Did you know that bats eat their weight in mosquitoes?
Yeah, I do.
Every day? Do you have a bat house in your backyard?
Well, I had one at the other house I was at, and I wasn't successful.
I had a bat house at the ranch, and a cowgirl took her shotgun out of her truck, and she started shooting the bats because she was afraid of them.
Huh.
And she blasted the bat house into smithereens. So we don't have any more. We got an email just came in. It says, BJ, weren't you baptized by Jesus with fire? I don't know. I must have missed that part.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
I prefer cold weather to hot weather. So my answer is, I don't know. Maybe so, maybe not. I'm not, you know, to be honest, I don't mean to be cavalierish or disrespectful, but frankly, if I have a question, I just ask God face to face. If I'm making a mistake, grace lets me know in a heartbeat.
Right.
And I've always said this, that I look at the Bible as an owner's manual, as like the Betty Crocker cookbook. It's really nice if you know the recipes and you follow the instructions, but it's a whole lot more fun and a lot more efficient to actually be cooking side by side with Betty Crocker. And so I lean on the guys more than I do that book.
Right.
We've got a really long email that came in a little bit ago from a new listener. She says, "My name is Donna, and I'm new to the radio show, so I want to welcome her." And it's pretty much a drama. She's got a boyfriend, old boyfriend, new boyfriend, doesn't like old boyfriend. It's quite the little drama. And we'll answer it, but I think we'll answer it in private because a lot of this is private. But I just wanted to acknowledge, she's listening to the show.
Yeah,
I wanted to acknowledge it, and I didn't want her to think that
emails
go ignored. Are you ready for music?
Yep.
All right, so you want music to say something to.
Okay.
This has got to be one of the dumbest songs in the world. You paid for this.
I did not.
Was this a free one?
Probably free, yeah.
You don't even know.
I have no idea.
No, you just hedged yourself. Oh, probably. All right, let me just give me a moment here, folks. Folks, just to do a little housekeeping, the email works all the time, but the text messaging only works while we're... doing the show, and also it takes about 10-15 minutes for me to record the show, and then it streams 24/7 until next week. Check out the archives page. That's a little too upbeat, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hold on.
That almost sounded like Ghostbusters.
There you go.
Okay.
You like? Is that something you can like say words to?
I don't think so.
Probably not, right?
No.
All right. Well, we'll keep looking.
You'd probably say words to anything, but that sounds a little bit more my speed. Well, Father, we praise you for tonight. We really do appreciate that you're with us at all times, and this show. And the purpose of this show is to help people to see exactly what's going on in their life. And I'm going to ask you tonight that you'll open the eyes of their understanding, like the Apostle Paul said. That they can see something so real as what Jesus told us when he said, "My sheep know me, they hear me, they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow." Lord, we really do know you. And we need to stop trying so hard, but just sit back and rest. And just experience and take in all the grace and all the wonderful things that you want to do for us. This is so simple. Help us to stay out of our way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that was pretty good.
Yep.
You did pretty good there. Well, I don't know. We've almost talked for 2 hours. We had a lot of texts, a lot of emails.
Yeah.
I like them.
Well, the texts and emails came in at the end, from about 25 minutes till they started coming in.
Now, is this kind of the way you wanted the show to go tonight?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I felt good about it. I don't usually feel bad about any show. I mean, every once in a while, I feel like it's smoother than other shows, but I feel like the content again just continues to help people see things that probably on their own, maybe they're not privy to.
I don't really worry about texture, whether the show is smooth or not. I'm more concerned about accuracy.
Well, I know. I want it to be accurate, too. But I mean...
No, I know you do. But I mean, that's paramount in my mind, to make sure that you know, the guys aren't, you know, yelling and screaming at me, you know, during the show saying, no, wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather hear, "There you go."
Yep.
You know, say more of that.
Yeah.
I think that that's what I want.
Right.
And I like when we get emails and texts that say that we're doing something.
Yeah.
I don't care whether we're helping someone with 2,000 pounds or 4 ounces.
Yeah.
I just want there to be some positive weight to it.
Sure. Sure. Me too.
You ready to say goodnight?
I am. How about Ranger?
Well, where is she? Folks, we want to welcome the new listeners to the show tonight. Like Don, we never heard from Trinidad.
No, we didn't.
Bet they weren't listening.
Especially after we pinpointed where they actually are.
Thanks a lot for listening. Welcome to all the new listeners. Wednesday night, tomorrow night, Hardesty Library.
Yes.
And Facebook, you can listen and watch it live.
That's right.
On Jim's Facebook page or his ministry website.
That's correct.
That's from 7 till 8 Central Time.
Mm-hmm.
And you going to be here next week?
I will be, yes.
And and remember, folks, dog spelled backwards. That about sums it up.
It does. Good night, everybody.